Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, you want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two here at Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor. Saw some Rashad during the break. That some good news on for my family, my niece.
Yes.
Who is... She was born with a congenital heart defect. So, unfortunately, at her young age of 8? Question mark? I believe. I think she's turning 8 this year. She's already had, like, 3 or 4 open heart surgeries. Mm. So, they had to go to Stanford last year because she was having some trouble. And it's just already been... a tough life, and she has gone through a lot more than any of us have gone through in our lives. And one of her doctors said, like, hey, you know, you should submit an application to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, you know, get, you know, take a chance, see if they accept it. And sure as hell, she got accepted. So awesome. Whatever her wish.
So cool.
I know. I was like, that's awesome. Hell yeah. So whatever her wish is going to be, we'll find out. I told her, I was like, don't ask to meet a celebrity because you're just going to, you know, unless you make it something like, I want to spend a day with the Atlanta Braves.
Want to meet Doja Cat?
Yeah. You gotta get something good out of it. Not just like, I want to hang out with this guy. No, I want to spend
a
day.
It's like you are going to be a thing, a block on the schedule for an hour or two, and that's it. Like, make it a day, make it a trip, like, make it meaningful for you and the family to experience. But... with that being said, when my sister told me that the other day, it reminded me of the scene off of Basketball when little Joey Thomas finds out that he has a wish, and the wishes he comes up with is like, oh, I want to dump a bunch of flesh-eating piranhas into a public swimming pool, or, oh, how about we poison the water reservoir? And then they ask
else?
Him, yeah, Joey, what do you truly want? Chelsea Clinton?
You've got a better chance at Bill.
That movie, dude, obviously subjective top 10 sports movie of all time.
Ooh, oh, that's a hot take right there.
Oh, it is. Is a hot take, but
it is a very, any
hilarious
movie that has Bob Costas, you know,
saying, feel these nipples.
That's, I mean,
come on.
That's
you're not
that
getting that
started
in 2024.
Yeah,
okay.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has a cameo in that movie. And we all know how maybe surly Kareem could be.
He's just sitting in the glass box.
Just sitting in the glass,
display.
You know. So yeah, some of the celebrity cameos that are in that movie were
pretty Reggie Jackson.
Good. Yeah.
I don't think there's like any sports parody out there that tops yeah, basketball.
Yeah, dude. It is just.
That alone puts it in the top 10. Like, it's like basketball, major league, kind of right under there, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's obviously the writers of South Park, but then the guy from Naked Gun, David Zucker, I want to say. He's the director, but. God.
Speaking of Naked Gun, I actually watched it again for the first time in a long time.
Dude, speaking of Naked Gun, we haven't even got to the news.
To the juice? I always felt so bad about watching Naked Gun. And now that the juice is gone, I watched it and was like, this movie's pretty funny.
I've been waiting to say this on the radio all week. So, guys,
here we go.
The juice's soul is loose.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah. Well, listen, the guy did it. All right.
Allegedly.
Yeah, well, according to the court records of the state of California, he did not. But he's dead, so it's not like I have to worry about any sort of defamation or anything. The guy did it, all right?
It's actually not even about that. I hate to break it to you, but the whole racial divide, it wasn't even originally about that.
Well, also, I think I saw a picture come across the timeline the other day of where it was, like, a college campus or something like that, where a bunch of students were watching the verdict. And I know this was the case all over the country, but it is just,
I was watching,
like,
it in seventh grade in gym class. Wow. Yeah.
So was my wife. She said in gym class.
Yeah, in gym class, we were watching that.
Just the, like... It could not have been like, yep, I'm not surprised by that. Literally every black person in that photo just, fist pumping, celebrating. Every white person just stunned, silent, hand over the mouth, looking at the TV.
Man,
like,
we won. That's what that was. That's what exactly. The OJ thing was for a lot of black
people. I understand.
Man, we won. Like, yes, juice. Like, but in the back of our minds, I think a lot of people,
He did it, but we won.
A black guy got acquitted for something a white guy normally gets acquitted for.
Yeah,
that was the way.
And then again, coming off
Nicole Simpson can't rap.
Coming off of the Rodney King thing and the way that they tore LA apart. You know, after that, they knew that city would pop if OJ was.
I didn't really think about it. I did read somewhere else that. Like years later, the jury, like some members of the jury admitting to like, oh, yeah, we didn't want that to go down. I feel like, they needed one here.
And so. Also, like, if you look back, like this should have been an open and shut case.
Yes.
I mean, if you're being real, this should have been an open, shut thing.
Suk has commented on this. Like one of his dad's friend was like, I don't know the exact title, but like a district attorney or something up in Alaska. So big law guy, right? Big lawyer. All right.
Involved deep in the system.
Yeah. And he said just like everything that came out of the case, that it's like the fact that he was acquitted is just like how in God's name.
Like the way that the prosecution screwed up everything, uh-huh. You know, the way that they put people on the stand that had no business being up there, they systematically one by one just messed everything about that
glove.
Case up. Like there's, I mean, OJ should have went to jail at that point in most people's eyes, alleged.
Well, he did go to jail.
He did eventually, but hey. Then he became an extra or like a correspondent on Cameron and
Hey
Mace's
Twitter World
show.
I need a drop of that.
Did you ever see
Hey
that?
Twitter World?
Oh, I did.
What did he do?
He was like a correspondent on Cam and Mace's sports show. It is what it is.
Yeah.
OJ
he
was on there all the time.
Give
and
hot
here's
takes.
The cool part, man.
OJ here live at the Buffalo Bills
OJ
game.
OJ was funny.
Yes.
OJ was hilarious. And I'm like, bro, I'm not supposed to be laughing at OJ, but he was really funny and really poignant as far as football and stuff like that. But so that whole, like, he was so charming, he was everything. I can see that, because, man, this
man,
dude
can
was
he
hilarious.
Run that football?
Well, and according to Alan Dershowitz, guys, I don't know if you saw this, like, after his death, OJ's death, Alan said, hey, the justice system works. And I'm like, really? I didn't feel like the justice system was meant to be manipulated and
wasn't he OJ's lawyer?
Yes,
wasn't
no,
he was
yes.
One of his lawyers?
Yes, like, but he's saying because of this acquittal, it proves that the justice system works, as opposed to, really, it's just subject to, a lot of money can create a situation with smoke and mirrors and kind of muddy up the waters for a lot of jurors instead of actually finding guilty versus innocent. It's just like, yo, the evidence is there.
For me, the best part of this whole thing was the Heisman Trust coming forward and being like, we mourn OJ. I was like, I thought OJ wasn't a part of the Heisman anything anymore. Didn't they like disassociate OJ from the Heisman?
Well, I definitely haven't seen him up on the stage in any of the Heisman ceremonies, so I'm going to assume not. That's like when someone dies and it's the classic, you have a picture of them, so you throw it up on the Instagram. Like, hey, I met him once. R.I.P., homie.
You know, I had a buddy.
Sorry about the death, bro.
I had a buddy of mine, a couple buddies of mine actually, you know, pass away over the last like year. And I felt so weird about posting about them and sharing a picture that I had with both of them. I felt like I was reaching a little bit. Like,
well, I feel like it's I see it more with the celebrities more than anything. Like someone dies, like, here's the one time I met him. Let me make it about me. Now I'm gonna go through my IG timeline because I'm pretty sure I did that about Bob Saget now that I think about that.
Did you really?
I definitely have.
You met Bob Saget? You met Danny Tanner? Where?
It was at the old studio when we used to do stuff with the Helium Comedy Club, and I was so jelly. I was producing Dirt and Sprague show that day, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, he came through. Met Craig Robinson also one time too.
Really?
He was high off his ass off of gummy edibles, like he was cooked.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
not a big fan of edibles.
He was eating them like candy, like just one after another. Though, and it was like that's. I was like, I don't know if you're supposed. You know what? You do you.
Nice guy, not that funny in my opinion. Sorry, Craig Robinson. Hot take.
Well,
he's got like four shows on NBC because he's a nice guy.
He was classic on Pineapple Express, right?
Well, yes, exactly. He's a great.
You rip somebody's jawbone off. I see it.
Supported character to the max.
All right, so Blazers. We get some justice. We get some sweet, sweet justice because the Blazer season is over officially today.
You get put down humanely.
And Brandon Sprague was supposed to join us. He let us down. He said that he's not in a spot to talk, and I had to confirm it was that emotionally or physically. Like, you're just like, something's going down, and it's like, no, I just can't. I think he is physically somewhere where he can't talk. Cop out.
He's watching the Masters.
It's a cop out, all right? Not happy about it. But we'll talk Blazers next. The sweet, sweet release of this NBA season of the Portland Trail Blazers. Right here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, I got an assignment for you guys. Homework assignment. I think you can come up with one good thing about the Blazers season.
That's easy.
I don't think you can come up with five. So let's try. Let's meet in the middle and let's do three. What are three things, legitimate things? I don't want Blazers fan bull crap of, well, I think Delano Banton showed that he has a future with this team. And no, don't give me that.
I can give you two things.
Do up, Reese. Man, I see a potential 2010 guy there. I don't want to hear any of that crap, all right?
Okay, one thing then.
I want three legitimate positives from this season. I want to see if we can do it.
Well, I'm on the Delano Banton bandwagon. I don't know about you. I'm being for real. Like,
somebody has to score 30, all right? Somebody has to score points for this team, okay?
It is not easy to get 30 in this league. And so, but either way, I think the first thing, the best thing that could have come of the season is I think we're seeing the number one pick in DeAndre Ayton. I think he's finally got to a point to where
You think so? That you think that Ayton's success, especially in the second half of the season, is sustainable and something that we can rely on for multiple years?
Absolutely, I do. Like here's somebody that showed you he can hit that free throw line extended jumper. He obviously, once he's inside and towards the middle of the paint, he is as dominant as anybody in there. He can block shots. He's shown you that he can be a defensive anchor and can also be your number one scorer on the other side, almost like a poor man's Joel Embiid, you know. So I don't really want him taking that three-point shot, but I'm okay with it. The way he's played throughout, mind you, it hasn't equated to wins, but I think he's finally figured out what his role should be in the NBA, is to be a big man that can play big. And so I think that's the first thing that I would say. With all the losses and all the disappointment, DeAndre Ayton's maturation as a player, I think if Phoenix had this dude that he is now when they made the finals back in, was that 2019, 2020?
I believe it was
21 season. Yeah,
so the one after the bubble.
So, yeah, so if they had this guy in that 21 season, they probably win that championship. But he wasn't that guy. But remember, end of the game, game two, three, four, whatever it was, that inbound play, who the dunk go to finish that?
Went to DeAndre.
Beautiful. So, like, I think Ayton could very well be the star that we've been looking for as far as somebody to put us over the hump with other guys coming back.
That's one.
All right, I got like one actually sort of good one and then one that's kind of bad but good.
A Blazers fan stretch, if you will.
It is not a Blazers fan stretch. It's actually kind of a glass half empty, but in the end, it's because I'm looking at the glass being half full, if that makes sense.
Well, there's only a couple drops in the glass right now.
You're not wrong.
I'll take a glass half empty.
All right, you know what? Let's start with that one. This season has exposed, so this is initially a bad point, this season has exposed Chauncey Billups as a terrible coach in the NBA, and finally given Joe Cronin and the rest of the front office a reason to move on from him. So I do think that this crappy season of coaching, regardless of the players, guys, he hasn't developed defense. They're still terrible. They don't effort on the defensive end.
Well, he clearly said when he got hired, I'm not much of a defensive coach.
Well, that's what they needed, unfortunately. And I'd rather have Scotty freaking Brooks, their assistant, running the sidelines at this point, because it's obvious Chauncey doesn't know what he's doing. I feel like that's been exposed, and it forces the front office's hands, okay?
So it's a negative turn to positive. You feel like, hey, Chauncey's been exposed, and we can now officially move on from
him.
We can start over. And we can look somewhere else now,
yes.
For the love of God.
For the love of God. And the quick second positive I see is the time that the young players have gotten to develop on the court this year. Whether or not they've taken advantage of that fully, that's another argument to be had. But positive, they have had time. Rupert and Murray and Henderson and Duopri. I don't care that this player's not that great. What the point is they've had time to develop the young guys. So that is, in technicalities, a positive for this team, right? That's all I got.
I'll accept it to an extent. This is also like to go on, like a Scoot Henderson tangent here, is that Devin Booker, when he was in Phoenix, the first 2-3 seasons, one of the things that he accredits to his success now is that he was thrown to the wolves early on in his career. That it wasn't let's hold him back. Let's try and build him in the gym. He played. He played a lot. He had to lead the team. He had to put the franchise on his shoulders. And the Phoenix Suns were garbage. Like, they were, I mean, that's why they got the number one overall pick to get DeAndre Ayton that year, is because they were one of the worst teams in the league. I believe it was basically when they were when they got to the bubble as one of the teams that invited, is like, that was when they were starting to show signs of, hey, maybe Phoenix can start being a competitive team in the league. But that was, again, 3 years after Devin Booker had gotten drafted into the league. So if you want to take, again, a negative and turn it into a positive, like, has it been a rough rookie year for Scoot Henderson? Yeah. We've heard that, obviously, teenage point guards that are drafted this high in the league Danny Meringue has lamented this multiple times, along with a lot of other things with the Blazers season and why we need to look positively at that. You know, neither here nor there, but I think especially with the way Scoot has looked in April, that is one thing where him, younger guys playing as much as they have, you're not going to get better by sitting on the bench and in the practice gym working on drills and fundamentals. Yes, you can get better, but to be a better NBA player in game action, you should probably play. And so, yes, these younger guys have gotten a ton of run, a ton of action against some of the league's best. And that is the one thing that going into the next season, you have the experience, all right? You're not like a deer in the headlights as a young player in the league anymore. That is the one thing that I will say, especially when it comes to Scoot. And you can, and this, I don't want to pull comparisons to other rookie point guards and rookie players that were drafted top three, top five over the years, because you can pick and choose like, oh, wow, look at his stats compared to Russell Westbrook's first year. Well, also look at his stats first year compared to Michael Carter Williams. And we saw how that worked out for
Antonio
him, right?
Daniels.
Again, so we can pick and choose stats as there are. The one thing that going into next year is when it does come to draft class. And we know that this draft class is, or we don't know, we've heard that the talent is not nearly as great as what's available next year. So that's when I look at next season is, are we looking at another bottom five record in the league next year to tank, to try and put yourself in a position to get talent in next year's draft? Because apparently it's loaded. It's not just Cooper Flagg. There's a few other guys. To quote Danny again, he was saying on Twitter that like you want to tank next year. Like there's plenty of talent coming into the draft next year. So how good do you want to see this, or do you want to see this Blazers team repeat this? Maybe not this bad, but again, be in a position to be able to draft high, or do you want to see them fighting for a play-in spot? Because the Portland Trail Blazers to be a winner, a consistent winner, top three seed in the West year in and year out, I believe that you need to get high-end talent in the draft, and the only way to do that is to be one of the perennial losers for 3-4 years. And so next year, I think you need to see improvements, but still in the bottom five of the league as far as record goes, to put yourself in a position to a high draft pick.
See, I don't – the way this NBA is going now, I don't know if the Blazers necessarily need to do that. I mean, seriously, with the healthy roster, which is the one thing we can say all year the Blazers haven't really had. They've had spurts when they finally get all five guys healthy, but there's never been a lineup that included for multiple games.
The injuries, like the consistency of a lineup,
this entire Blazers squad.
Yeah.
So do I think that they would? Do I think they'd be this bad with Malcolm Brogdon and Shaden Sharp and
Robert Williams
and Robert Williams like as in a backup role? You know, at that point and DeAndre Ayton and.
Matisse and Anthony
and Simon. Do I think that they're going to be that? And then Scoot, the Blazers haven't been winning, but as a rookie, he's hit his stride, and albeit at the end
again,
of the season.
April's been great for him.
April's been great, but listen to these numbers. 20.6 and 6, 13.8 and 9, 22 and 10, 19 and 7, 15 and 8, 19 and 15, 18 and 12, 30 and 7. Like, he's figured out finally, like, this is how you do things. Now you add better players around him. I don't think that we're going to be in a repeat. I think they're going to be better the next year and play in if that's where it starts, because that's where it started for OKC. Let's just make the play in and let's see what's going on from there. Now we're talking about OKC having an opportunity to be the number one seed in the league the year after. It can happen. And I think this Blazers team is talented enough. The whole thing is, can they stay healthy? And do they have the right leadership to you and Jordan's point to be able to move forward?
I want to take a break. There are some texts coming through on the Vancouver 4 text line. I want to read a couple of those in the next segment, which we will do next for a Schultz Sports Center update.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Rooting for people's demise here at the Masters on Sunday. Very uplifting.
Aren't we always, though?
Yeah. Put it in the creek. Put it in the creek. Come on. That is like, it is like the only sports gambling
I
do
Phil.
Now.
Looking good, Phil.
I guess. Whatever.
He looks the same.
You know he finished second last year, right?
Yeah.
Like tied for second?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would be cool to see him, you know, play more often. Oh, wait. Would be cool to see a lot of these guys play more often, but I digress. Want to read some text messages from the Vancouver Ford text line about the Blazers. If I remember right, Chauncey was the one to make Dame happy. Well, yeah, I mean, from when he was hired to what it is now, this is why I think that it's time to find someone that is better on the developmental side of NBA basketball. Like, whether it's a name that's been around and has coached winning teams and winning franchises, or it's a dude who has just put in his time and is known throughout the league as a developing assistant coach. Like, who the hell had heard of Mark Daigneault before he got the Thunder job, right? Who the hell had heard of Chris Finch before he got the Timberwolves job? Taylor Jenkins in Memphis, right?
Even Stotts, he was a head coach, but a relatively kind of whispered about name as opposed to being really talked about.
Coming from Dallas, like that was the whole...
So for Chauncey, and you mentioned it, like before he even got hired as the Blazers coach, he was an assistant coach for the Clippers for like, what, a season?
That was it. It wasn't much.
Like, what are we doing? And he was doing media before that, so it's like his track record of developing young talent, like, not really there.
And that's what happens when you try to appease a superstar. Like, right? They tried to do that with Giannis in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's struggling because of it. They tried to do that with Dame, and now for the third straight season, the Blazers are at the bottom of the barrel. So, you know, I don't think necessarily they didn't used to do that, you know, back when obviously when Jordan or whomever was like, no, they didn't hire coaches to appease the superstar for the most part. Like they made a decision and said, this is what we're going with as a franchise. The Blazers need to do that regardless of who they think is calling the shots.
I do want to remind everybody, too, that Chauncey Billups was actually not just the organization's probably second choice, but Damian Lillard's second choice. The early names that were being thrown out were Jason Kidd, now current Dallas Mavericks head coach, along with Chauncey Billups. But and Dame threw his name in the Jason Kidd camp before Chauncey, but Kidd publicly withdrew his name from the Blazers' job. Before anything even happened.
He knew he was going to Dallas. I don't want to go to Portland.
Which is just crappy. That was a crappy situation that the Portland Trailblazers were put in. But Chauncey was the second option here. So
another text message from the Vancouver Ford text line. As I forget that I'm on radio, need to turn my mic on. P1 Rich from Troutdale. The Blazers were able to identify possible complementary role players for the future. Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, when you look at the roster.
Little Banton.
Stop. The only players that I really, truly care about are the rookies and the guys that we've invested draft picks in. As far as, you know, like, it kills me, like a Jabari Walker, like an undersized big Like, is he really going to have a future, not just on this Blazers team, but in the NBA? I remember years ago, people were like, I like what I see from Moses Brown. Well, he's a two-way G Leaguer now for Dallas, okay? Duop Reith. He's
Caleb
a 20.
Swanigan is really going to be a cornerstone of this Blazers team.
He's a 28. Hey, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Duop Reith. Like, good. Yeah, fun year for him. Again, we needed someone to be a big. Backup big, right? There's got to be someone. I put him in the Delano band pool. Like, yeah, somebody's got to play.
Stop with
right. Somebody's got to get minutes, right?
But he's not a role player like that. Drew Eubanks, perfect example. Somebody that in the Blazers roster time rose to the situation. I think got that 1 year contract with the Blazers after that, and then finally after Dame let go, they have no need for a Drew Eubanks. So he used that time to become a role player. Not necessarily a impact role player in the NBA. He is like the ninth, tenth guy off the bench, if that, in Phoenix. And that's basically, guys, what Duop Reith is. It's not like he's going to be the seventh guy off the bench in anywhere but the Portland Trail Blazers roster land.
He's good for the Blazers.
Exactly.
You know, but for another team, a competitive team, he's probably not playing that much.
Again, there's a handful of guys that, and excuse me, I say Moses Brown, I meant Greg Brown.
Moses is currently on the
Moses
Blazers.
Moses is on the Blazers, but yeah, we'll see how much longer that lasts. When I'm looking at the roster, like I look at guys like Ryan Rupert, which very young, again, as far as like what was given up, second round draft pick for him. I mean, I believe he might have been in the trade, involved in the Dame trade. Tumani Kamara, Scoot Henderson. It's wild to think, too, that Shaedon Sharpe is 20 years old. Along with Scoot Henderson, who just turned 20. So keep that in mind. And Chris Murray. Like, basically, a handful of younger players. Anthony, and granted, he's only 24, so you want to talk about another younger player who it's like, him being that young, like, he's been in the league for how long now? You'd think he's like 27, 28
now, yeah.
Or something. But this is going to be an interesting offseason as far as what we do with him. I mean, if he comes back, if the Blazers bring him back, he's making $24 million. I haven't looked at his contract to see how many years are left. I'm just curious to see what we do with some of these guys that are a little bit older. Like, what are they going to do with Jeremy Grant? Like, is it just let him, like, he's kind of a forgotten player in all this, right? Like, he is the designated, like, I guess I'm the veteran bucket getter here. So when I play, I'm the guy that has to get his 30, but yeah, he's been out as well as two. It's just, this team is so weird.
I don't feel like they've been together enough, long enough to be able to make a real judgment as far as what's going to happen, right? Like, I mean,
so wouldn't you know it, the Blazers this season and for next season, it all depends on health.
The only thing we know for sure is that as great as Chauncey is, and he's a Hall of Fame player, not the guy that should be leading this team. That's the only thing we know for sure, because We have yet to see this team consistently for 15 games in a row, 20 games in a row, play together. And until we get a chance to really see that, I think it's tough to judge where exactly this team is. Like, there's clearly talent here. How do we coach that talent to the right spot? Like, that's the big question.
Last text message here. The positive was all the injuries. Brogdon, Sharp, Williams, Henderson, Simons, they all stay healthy all year. We win 30-plus games and screw up the draft pick. Blazers screw up being bad. So they're saying is like, hey, you know, because of how this season went and guys not being together, we might have been a better team or put us in that 7, 8, 9, 10th draft slot, and then we're not looking at a high-end draft pick. And again, I just... The whole, this is a bad draft class, or aren't any good players coming out, we don't know that yet, all right? We were saying about Anthony Bennett a couple years ago, does the guy even like basketball? He's looking like a top 10, potentially top 5 player in the years to come. So let's just...
Who?
Anthony Bennett? Anthony Edwards.
What about to say from
Anthony Bennett,
like,
no,
he was a
Anthony
bust.
Bennett, no, he did suck. Yeah, you're right. Anthony Edwards, I mean, in the 2020 draft being number one overall. Anthony Bennett, my God, like, he wasn't even being sniffed as a number one pick until his name was actually called.
He went to UNLV and I was shocked. Like, wait, what?
You weren't even cheering. You're like, huh? So again, like, let's just wait and see what happens with this draft class next year for the years to come. But I think there is the consensus that get the number one pick, get Alexandre Sarr out of Perth, and pray to God that he ends up having good knees. I think that is the consensus.
Yeah,
here.
Just make it sound so simple.
Dude, I should be running the Blazers.
Yeah.
Should apply. Should have been doing it. Rashad is going to end up actually running the PGA Tour. We decided during the commercial break.
Easy.
He has a new rule for ball markers, which is exactly, I think, the number one priority.
Number one.
On the PGA
We're going
to
have
Tour.
Casual Fridays all of a sudden for, you know, the second day of the Masters.
And then I'll be running the Blazers, and we got it. We got it on lock here.
I like it.
Speaking of the Masters, though, the Jason Day, his sponsor is Malbon, which is a newer golf brand. He was wearing a very loud sweater vest, apparently, and they're like, yeah, you need to take that off. You will not be wearing that on our course. Like, it was...
But guess what? On Casual Fridays, you can wear whatever you want to.
Yeah, I think Casual Fridays is called the Live Tour, is what that is. They're wearing shorts.
Fair enough. Flip-flops.
Only black and gray, though. Only black and gray.
All right, let's wrap things up. I have something I'm doing next weekend where I will not be here on the show, but I wanted to bring it up to you guys because I have no idea what to expect. We get to that next to finish up the show. You're on Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
All right, final segment here. I will not be here next Sunday. I am going to the town of Garibaldi with Papa Joe, with my father. And we're going on a fishing charter excursion where we are going to be taken out on a boat.
Right.
You know, no shock there. Use a boat to do that. But I believe we got the at Garibaldi Charters the deep reef lingcod and rockfish trip with crabbing. On their website it says 6 to 8 hour trip. Apparently, our hotel is like right there in Garibaldi by where we have to be, but we have to get there at like 6:30 in the morning next Saturday. Not crazy about that. Apparently, that's a fishing thing.
The earlier the better.
I don't know why. I maybe because the water is colder and they're hanging out. I don't know. But that I'm not too stoked about that. 6:30 wake up time. Well, actually more than 6:30 because we have to be there at 6:30. Oh, so probably around like 5:30 or 6 or something. I don't know.
Yikes.
Traveling up to 20 miles offshore and fishing with our heavy duty reels in 300 to 400 foot water.
Can you swim?
I will not be swimming in the ocean. No, I attempted that once when I was in Hawaii. We did a snorkeling trip, and so they take you off however many miles, and they're like, "So you can wade in the water if you want. Obviously, if you're struggling, there's a pool noodle that you can kind of just put under your arm, so that way it kind of just keep yourself afloat, and then you can just hover on the surface." And I was like, "Pool noodle." No.
Give me the noodle.
Oh, dude, I jumped in that water colder than I was thinking, so it was the automatic,
chilled you to the bone.
So you start breathing a little heavier, and I started to swim away from the boat a little bit, and then immediately swam right back to the boat. I'm like, toss me a pool noodle, chief. We're gonna enjoy
it right here.
I want to enjoy myself and not fight for my life out here.
That ocean is treacherous. Were you off of the coast of Maui?
Yeah. It was like, I forget what the town is down there. Kihei, I believe.
I was off, I was on Kaanapali Beach, actually off the beach of Lahaina, the town that burned in the horrible wildfires. But before, when it was still burgeoning, before all that happened, there was a jet ski spot, like right on the beach. You know, you just go meet the guys and then they take you out to like a boat.
My name's Kunu.
Basically. Very, very, yeah, very
But it means Chuck.
Very tan, stoned dude, but very nice. But we get out there, and I had the same issue. I got on the wave runner or the jet ski, and it just, man, I could not control that in those choppy waters.
Listen,
dude.
Listen, man, I have profound respect for the ocean.
See, and
I don't mess
with
the ocean, man.
When I saw on the website, it's like, yeah, we're going 20 miles offshore. I'm like, can we go five?
Yeah,
do we really have to go 20 miles? Like, is that completely necessary?
But it's a charter boat, so I assume it's a pretty nice size. Or is it a skiff?
I'm not sure what the vessel is like, the fishing vessel that we'll be on. We can look up the crew members as well. I think just from looking at the pictures, I'm gonna throw out. So how about those boarders? See what their thoughts are on
that. Yeah, I'm like, I remember we were like in eighth grade, and we took a trip to... we were going to the aquarium out in Newport, and before we did that, we went and did some whale watching and stuff, and we saw some whales, you know, kind of jump right next to the boat. It was like, nope, ooh, get me out of here. Seriously, they might have been 40 feet away from where our boat was, and they were jumping. Just see how massive those whales were. It was like, nope, get me out of here. Don't want to be here anymore.
See, text line, Vancouver Ford text line, if the seas are rough, good luck puking for 6 to 8 hours. See?
Oh, my God.
And that's the one thing I'm worried about, too. My dad said, he's like, we'll take some Dramamine. We'll take some Dramamine the night before. My girlfriend got me the
patches?
No, some, like, bracelets or something like that. Like, sea-something bracelets. A bunch of hippie voodoo magic, I'm sure, that I hope helps. I hope it has some sort of placebo effect where it will make it so I'm not puking for 6 to 8 hours.
Oh, man. I didn't mention that on that trip, whale watching, everyone was sick because no one was prepared.
Of the boat, like, yes, and being on the water?
No one was prepared for the back and forth swaying up and down. It was like, get me out of here.
Yeah. See, I mean, and when I did that snorkeling trip, like, granted, I wasn't in the boat, like, standing in the boat, but I was, you know, fine. I didn't have any problems. I've never had seasickness problems, water sickness, being on a boat in any capacity ever in my life. So I'm just fingers crossed that this is not the not the time that it happens.
Right.
And I hope that I come back with plenty of fish.
Hey, man. Bring some for me, bro.
I hope I just have enough for me. I got to stock up the fridge.
Man, don't be selfish, man.
Hey, no,
you can bring us a couple of pieces of fish.
Don't be shellfish.
If you don't come back with some smoked salmon, I'm going to be personally offended.
We will not be salmon fishing. That is a different package we did not pay for.
That's
like I said, ling cod or rockfish, I believe.
Smoke some rockfish.
I like rockfish.
But yeah, I'm looking at the, deckhand Elena. I hope she's on the boat. All right, that's a Garibaldi 10 right there. Okay.
Garibaldi 10.
I mean, a Portland 7, but a Garibaldi 10.
I was
going to
say like a Portland 5, but all
right. You're probably right, more so on that scale. But yeah, I mean, look at some of these guys on this charter boat, these captains. I mean, that is definitely, we're going to have some conversations for sure. All right, well, I will not be here next week. Rashad, Jordan, best of luck.
You got it.
We'll hold it down.
And, yeah, wish me luck on the boat and hope I bring home some type of fish, bring home some food.
Break a leg, brother.
I'm hoping so. Not literally, but, yeah, I would love to catch a fish.
Hopefully you don't.
Get knocked over on the waves.
Cannot tell you the last time I caught a fish. It's probably been close to 20, 25 years. So hoping that I get something. Appreciate everybody listening out there. Rashad, enjoy your Sunday.
Indeed.
You'll be watching the Masters, right?
Absolutely.
As you're looking down at your phone, shaking your head, no.
Absolutely. I'm re-signing into T-Mobile. I don't know why I have to do that.
You sold it on, for me there.
Absolutely. I'm watching the rest of the Masters.
Jordan, enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Yeah, you guys too. Love you, Joe. Love you, Rashad. Love you all, listeners. I'll be watching some sports today.
And everybody out there listening, you have a great Sunday. And if you aren't watching anything, enjoy the sunshine. And we'll catch you. I'll catch you in 2 weeks. We will catch you next week, though. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.